Okay, Rabbi, so we're going to continue now in Mirtz Hashem with Moleches Borer, and we'll see what progress we can make. Most of Moleches Borer here in Perek Ha'agada we did already, but to get a broader picture and a definition of Moleches Borer, we started last week a sugya on Daf Kuf Lamites Amid Beis. And that's what we want to continue today in Mirtz Hashem. What we saw last week is the sugya of Sinun Yayin. The Mishnah speaks on Daf Kuf Lamites Amid Beis about Sinun Yayin. And that means to remove the Shmarim from the Yayin. And in the case of Yayin Achur, which means that it's full of these Shmarim, you want to find a way of removing the Shmarim. You do it through a process of Borer. And the Gemara says, in the name of the Brice of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that a person is allowed to pour the wine into the Mishameres on Shabbos, V'yeno Choshesh. And that seems to contradict our Mishnah that assumes that in the case of Achurim, where there is sediments, we're not allowed to do this process of using a Mishameres. So the Gemara responds that Bein Hagidos Shon. And we spent some time here on this Rashi, Bein Hagito Shanu. I'll just read the Rashi and very quickly summarize what we said. Rashi says, Kol Hayenos Achurim, during this period of time called Bein Hagitos, the wines are all full of Shmarim. And therefore, Rashi says, Shosin Osam B'Shamrehem. They drink it as is, and they tolerate these sediments in the wine. That's what's out there on the market. Hilkach, therefore, during this period of time of Bein Hagitos, Enkan Tikun, that's not a significant improvement in the wine, because the wine is drinkable as is. Dimolav hachi mishtise, that they drink it even without removing the shmar. So that's what we did last week in Mirtz Hashem. We had a long discussion with a Rashba and a Ran, and now we want to start the sugya of Rav Acha Midifti, which I think is a pretty important sugya, even though it's very short, it's only a line. But Rashi here says something pretty amazing. Okay, then, so we're now on the bottom of Kuf Lamites Amid Beis. I gave it to you on the Mayor Makomas page, and more than that I can't do, especially when you're dealing with Steinsaltz. I have no clue, Harvey, how to help you with Steinsaltz. If you want to buy me Steinsaltz for a gift, he's a Rishon, and then every time that we start a shiur, I'll try to underline it for you or something. Other than that, I really apologize, Harvey. There's not that much I can do. Maybe Dr. Joel, you know how to use the Steinsaltz?
Yeah, we got
from time to time. You know, you do. You also seem to have a Steinsaltz. Okay, that's not Lashon Hara. If you use a Steinsaltz, that's
6:15 on the bottom.
6:15 on the bottom. Okay, in my clock it says 12:15, but whatever. Anyway, so what do we have here in Rav Acha Mi Difti on the bottom of Daf Kuf Lamites of the Beis? And going on to Kuf Mem Omid Aleph. The Gemara says as follows. Again, in these sugyas, it's very hard to plow through the Gemara because of the use of Aramaic. But we'll try to do the best we can. So it comes out like this. That the Gemara tells a story first about the household of Rav Papa. And they used to take beer and pour it into a kli. And what used to happen when they poured the beer into the kli, some amount of psoles from the sediments would remain on the outskirts of the kli. And it wouldn't be poured together with the rest of the contents. Amalei Rav Achami Difti L'Ravina. And when the Chachamim heard about this minog that was apparently quite common in Rav Papa's household, they got a little upset about it, or at least Rav Acha Midifti got upset about it. He says, ha'ika nitzotzos. Now, what are these nitzotzos? So I'll read to you his summary of Rashi. He says here, tipos ktanos, hametaftifos mibein hapsoles kishakiluach posek. In other words, after the pouring of the beer, or the wine or the beer, when it completes itself, then there are certain nitzotzos, there are certain tipos ktanos, that certain droplets that are full of psoles. Vehein mochichos, the fact that he pours the beer out of the container and then he stops, leaving these nitzotzos back in the container, that seems to demonstrate that what he's interested in, livar es hashecha me'apsoles, shebeshuli akli, that he wants to make sure that he separates through this pouring process, by leaving the nitzotzos back in the kli, separates the psoles from the shechar itself, and the psoles ends up on the shulei hakli. You've all seen this. I mean, we do this all the time. But on Shabbos, maybe we should be avoiding it. That's what Rav Achami Difti said to Ravina. So the Gemara answers, nitzotzos lebei Rav Papa lo chashivi. Now, there's a long piece here in Rashi about the nitzotzos in Bei Rav Papa. Okay then? So let's try to take a look at the Rashi. We're going to have to be aided by the Bach, the Hagos HaBach, because Rashi as it is doesn't read too well. And if I can trouble you, maybe Yechiel or Alan or somebody could open up the Aruch HaShulchan just so we don't have to waste time. And what Rashi says is that Rav Papa was a chenvani, so he was in a business professional situation. And what was his job? He was matil shechar hoya. Okay, you see that even in those days, just like today, all the great scholars had jobs. Just like today, right? Or at least maybe his wife, you know, Rashi didn't want to, because it's sneers, Rashi didn't want to say that his wife was the Matil Sheikh, right? Okay. Hilkach, Rashi says on the last line, Ein makpid l'nitzotzos kolkach. He's not so sensitive to these nitzotzos. In other words, at this particular point, we could actually say the following. That Rashi here is in a sense reflecting or repeating almost what he said before about Bein Agito Shanu, that this is not such a profound tikkun because he leaves the nitzotzos back in the cup, he's not interested in the nitzotzos, and then Kishimagil and nitzotzos, when he's left with only these small droplets back in the receptacle, in the original barrel or whatever he's using, is mashlich. Mashlich hein upsoloseim lachutz. He doesn't try to remove the shmarim from the nitzotzos. That would require a great deal of effort, and not only that would even be a violation of Melechus Borer, as we'll soon see. But rather, he would take those nitzotzos that were left in the receptacle, in the barrel, and he would throw it all out, together with the psolus. Again, he took a loss of, let's say, 2%, whatever percentage of the beer. But he didn't have the time and the effort to expend on all that. He was a chenvani umatil sheikhar. Well, now we get to the exciting part of Rashi. Now, first I'm going to read it without the Bach, and then we'll read it with the Bach. He says the following. He says, Utchilas shfiyason min apsoles, which means that Rashi's asking a question. Without asking it, he's answering it. Okay, now you're telling me about the droplets that are left in the kli at the end of this process of shficha, of shfisa. But the shfisa started at the very beginning. And wasn't he at that point pouring it in such a way, Rashi assumes, that the psoles was being removed from the beer itself? And you've explained very well that kind of that element of psolus that was left in the receptacle mixed into the tzotzos, that he didn't even bother removing. He just threw it all away. That was thrown into the rubbish. But Rashi wants to know, what about tchilas shvisoson? There at that point, he seems to be removing psoles. You have to figure out exactly how he removes the psoles. But Rashi gives an answer here. Nikar. Now, what does that word nikar mean? What does it tell me here? I'm going to use the Bach here, because the Bach is going to tell me the following. That ein hapsoles nikar. Now that makes even less sense than the Rashi that we have. You know, when somebody like the Bach wants to add or change the version of Rashi or any Rishon or the Gemara itself, he should do so for our benefit. That's what I would say. You know, Zochen Leodem Shalom Fun. If you want to change the Girsa, okay, do it in a way that I can understand you. But to tell me that Ein Hapsoles Nikar, I don't know what he means. Unless he means to say that we don't care about that psolus. But we don't have that girsa in Rashi. Rashi says this on the contrary. Hapsoles nikar. So if b'mechilas kvod de Bach, anyone who has musical favorites, okay, I don't need to insult anybody, but I'm going to learn Rashi the way I think Rashi is saying it, without the Bach. And Rashi's point is, the last three words are the key words, the lav borer, who says, Rashi, why is there no borer b'tchilas shviyosom? And Rashi says, because the psolus is nikar. And if that be the case, Rashi is telling me something major, a major breakthrough in Meleches Borer. That when you have a mixture of psoles and ochel in such a way that it's very difficult and it's a time-consuming and a painstaking process to remove the psoles from the ochel, that's called meleches borer. And that's why the Gemara was up in arms about the nitzotzos here, because to get the psoles out of the nitzotzos, you know, that's going to be a difficult procedure. And the Gemara answers, no, he didn't even bother removing the psoles from the nitzotzos. He just threw the whole thing out. But what about the psoles b'tchilas shviyosom? That psoles is a much more serious psoles, and that would somehow have a negative impact on the beer itself. On the beer itself, the nitzotzos he threw out, so he didn't even bother selling it. But what about the beer itself? Has what? It has psoles in it. So Rashi answers that psoles is nikar, and if that psoles is nikar, then it's very easy to remove that psoles. It's not a whole long procedure. Let's take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan. What number was the Aruch HaShulchan? Yud Zayin, am I correct? Mm-hmm. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you have chatichos gedolos, v'kol echo achas nikeres bifnei atzma, lo mikri borer. So this is very interesting. He says that you can have a mixture of chatichos gedolos with chatichos ktanos, and you want to remove the chatichos gedolos, says the Aruch HaShulchan, lo mikri borer. Why? And he gives the following answer. Shekol achas nikeres bifnei atzma. Now, Bosa, what does that sound like if we don't accept the Bach? The Bach's emendation. Sounds like Rashi. That Rashi is telling me that with regard to borer, if you have something that's nikar bifnei atzmo, shall we say it's not? I would say the following again. Maybe I'm a little bit coloring Rashi in a certain way, but the way I think Rashi means it is that borer has to be some sort of a significant tikkun. You know, you really have a challenge here when you have a taroves and you have to pick and choose and take this out and take that out. But in the case of chatichos gedolos, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, keva nikeres kolachas nikeres bifnei atzmo, or in the case of the Sheikha that we had here in Rav Achami Divti, we have a procedure by which we are taking out psoles, which is nikeres. That's already not considered borer. So Rabbi said, what this means is that we're introducing, I think, a new element into the equation, the definition of borer. And that is that Borer requires some sort of significant action, call it a tikkun chashuv. And in the case where there are chatichas gdola, so the psalms is nikeres bifnei atzma, then that's not called a tircha gdola. And that would not constitute a violation of Meleches Borer. Now, if Rashi says it, I don't know. I think that's what Rashi's saying. But, you know, you'll tell me, okay, that doesn't, you know, we don't have to get excited about that pshat. That's a Rashi. You know, we don't paskin like Rashi. But when the Aruch HaShulchan quotes it la'alacha, and he wants to say that whenever there's chatichos gedolos nikaros b'fnei atzmon, lo mikri b'chai gavna brera, that already, you know, that already is something that we should consider. You know, it's halachic implications, even perhaps halacha lemaisa. At least I call it a sniff. You know, if you have another reason to be mekil, for example, there's some shittas that say that if the ochel is meruba mepsoles, then taking out the psoles is not considered borer because, you know, because now the real effort, the real tircha is to take away, try to take out the ochel. You know, that's a real tircha. And here in this case, the Tosfos sheet is that we shift and the psolas becomes the ochel. And you're allowed to take out the psolas because there's so little psolas, it's much easier to take out the psolas. Or if you want to call the Ramban sheet that we mentioned many times, of derech achila b'kach. So if you'd have a case where there would be a machlokas rishonim about whether this could be borer when I take the psolas out, when there's a very little amount of psolas, I would add this Aruch HaShulchan to boot with this Rashi, that if that psolas is a dover gadol v'nikar b'fnei atzmo, and it's very simple and very easy of a process to remove it, it's not really a tarovis. A tarovis means that it's such an admixture of the two together that you need a great deal of effort to separate one from the other. Okay, that's what I got here from this line in the Gemara. But now I want to read to you the next line in the Gemara. And this is even more challenging. The Mishnah says, Nosnin Beitza Misanenis. You're allowed to, in a sense, sift an egg. What does that mean, sift an egg? Tani Yaakov Karf. We're now on the top of Kuf Mem. So what is that, 616, I guess, by now? So,
yes.
So, okay, good, because we were on 615, so now we're on 616. Again, that's all Chinese to me. I don't know what you're talking about, but as long as Harvey knows what you're talking about, that's what counts. And Gemara says that why are you allowed to separate what we call the chelbon from the chelmon? Okay, you know, there are two parts to an egg. The chelmon is the yolk of the egg and the yellow of the egg, and the chelmon is the white of the egg, and you're separating the yellow from the white. And why isn't that meleches borer? So Tani Yaakov Karcha. Okay. He has a whole discussion about the name Karcha. It's a little bit of an embarrassing name. You know, especially as you get older in life, you know, it gets a little embarrassing when you call somebody a Karcha. But okay, maybe the word Karcha has some other meaning to it.
Not that he was... Yeah,
it's a question of Machani Shabbat. So the Gemara says on the top of Daf Kuf Mem, Amud Aleph, Lefisha Ein Osin Osa Ela Legoven. Okay, we have to understand what this word govern means first, to translate the word, and then to try to figure out why he is removing, or shall we say, separating the white of the egg from the yellow of the egg, and the yellow of the egg ends up on top, and he's allowed to do this, separating the two parts of the egg. And why isn't this meleches borer? So first of all, as far as the translation of the word legavon, or legoven, you take a look at Rashi and he says lemarit, but Rashi doesn't finish with those words. In other words, what he's saying is that there's an aesthetic element here in separating the yellow from the white. Sometimes the, you know, the bakers need the yellow, sometimes they need the white. You know, the healthy people like the white of the egg, it has less cholesterol. But that's not what he's interested in. He's interested in the way it looks, the aesthetics. And this is not called borer. And Rashi goes on to say the following: Shehachelmon, the yellow of the egg, yofel legavon. Oh wow, a guest in shtut. Then we need an extra chair. Okay, sorry. Okay, and he says the following: Hilkach, he says, idi vi idi ochelhu. This is fascinating. Rabbi said, please underline these four words in Rashi. Hilkach idi v'idi ochel hu. The enkan breras soles me ochel. Rabosai, Rashi is saying that this process is not borer. And if you and I were to ask why it's not borer, we would be hard pressed to come up with some answer to this question, because this looks like a classical case of borer. And Rashi's answer is idi v'idi, idi v'idi ochelhu. Now, if I can trouble you to just to hold on to this. Okay. So that I can get access to this, and I hope I'm not going to knock over the tea here. So we're going to take a look at the Shulchan Aruch for a moment. Of course, all of Hilchas Borer is in Siman Shin Yud Tes. Okay, then? And we're looking, again, for anybody who possibly has the Mishnah Berurah on page 278. And this is Shin Yud Tes. And we're looking at Sif Tes Vav. Okay, so that's a little bit later on. It's a very long, complicated Siman Shin Yud Tes. Anyone who knows Shin Yud Tes deserves smicha just for Shin Yud Tes. Okay. And the Mechaber says the following. He says, Mutar li aros. Okay, benachas mikli l'chavero. So you're allowed to pour out, even though he knows that some solace is going to be left behind. Bilvachi zor shekshi yifso kakiluach umaschilu lered nitzotzos ketanos anishpochus bachronim bachronim mitokapsos yafsik vianiach vianichen. He's got to get rid of these nitzotzos. Fine. Okay. Then he says the following. Misanes shenosan bachardol lisanino Mutar litein ba beitzo. You're allowed to put this egg inside the mesanes. Afal pi shachelmon yored lemato. I guess the white part. Imachardo vachelbon nishar lemalo.
That's the one.
That's interesting. The chelbon is up on top, and yet he says that what the white is up on top. I meant to say the yellow goes down. Did I say it the other way around?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I have a tendency of getting confused. Fine. So he says that this is not considered borer.
Interesting how he doesn't point out the gavan thing at all. He just makes
nothing. Where's the stipulation that he's doing it for gavan or geven? He doesn't mention anything like this. Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah has a whole discussion here about milk and coffee and so forth and so on. Believe that if we can, we'll get back to the Mishnah Berurah. But wait a minute, just give me a minute.
Yeah, please.
Give me just one minute. I'm not yet settled here. I haven't yet landed. Okay. So what do we have over here? Rashi says that you're allowed to do this process, and I'm trying to figure out why. Rashi says that the case is such that idi v'idi ochelhu. That's what we have. That's what we have in Rashi. Okay. Now, idi v'idi ochelhu sounds like what, Rabosai? What does that remind you of? When we started Melechus Bor about a week ago, do you remember? We had two basic dinim or categories of separating between two what? Two miyoch. It sounds like Rashi is holding over here, which I would be very excited about, that idi v'idi ochelhu, that since he has intention to eat both the chelmon and the chelmon, he's separating basically two mini ochlin. Now you'll ask me, well, is there bor in two mini ochlin? So I got very excited about this because it happens to be, if you recall what we discussed a week ago, that it's Rashi who refused to accept the girsa of Shnei mini ochlin. Let me just see if I'm right about that. I hope my memory is not deluding me.
You're right.
Yeah. This is on Daf Ayin Dalid Amud Aleph, and Rashi says, "Hayu lefun of mine ochlin garsinon, v'lo garsinon shnei mine ochlin." So Rashi rejects the girsa of shnei mine ochlin. And if you take a look at the Achronim here, he has a summary of the Achronim, and he says that in the case of shnei mine ochlin, That's not called Borer. He quotes the Maram Bennett, that's the Magen Avos, and he says that Shnei Mini Ochlim V'Rotzel Lahafrid Min Echad Shal Ochel Mimin Sheni Shal Ochel. He says L'das Rashi Ein Boze Borer. So we're, you know, the Maram Bennett would help us tremendously here in this Rashi, because Rashi Shitosa holds that if he's going to eat both the chelmon, which is the white, the yellow of the egg, and the chelmon, which is the white of the egg, he's going to eat both of them.
All right.
So Rashi says that that's only separating two mini ochlin.
Well, how do you know Rashi means that he's going to eat both of them? Where's the raya that is for eating?
I'm just saying, otherwise, what's Rashi's point here when he says, Idi ochel hu? In other words.
Well, we were trying to figure that out. It seems to us that if my purpose of using the yellow is not because I want to eat it, but I need its color, then I'm not distinguishing it from the white as well.
Right, but what is he going to do with the white? Is he going to throw it out?
Throw it out. But it's still ochel.
Yechiel, you and I come from affluent society. I don't know if in those days they threw out half an egg.
No way.
But again, I'm just saying that the lumbus here, I think, has to be in those words of Rashi, idi v'idi ochel hu.
Right.
Now, it could very well be that Yechiel's right. Again, I'm hesitant, but I have a natural tendency of resisting that we throw out, I'm not saying it's faltashchis, although the health people are into the white of the egg, not the yellow of the egg. But even if I grant you that he's going to throw out the white of the egg, it still has a shame of ochel. That's what Rashi is saying. And basically, psoles is objective psoles. That's the way the Maran Bennett learns Rashi, why Rashi rejects the gifts of shnei mini ochlin, because that's not psoles. Again, Tosis had a whole lumbus, that since he doesn't want it, that's considered psoles, but objectively it's not psoles, it's ochel. So I'm just thinking that this would be very good, and we could accept that Rashi holds that the reason why you're allowed to separate the white and the yellow is because you're really separating two ochlin. I mean, Yechiel and I have a little sub-debate, but I don't know if it's so relevant to us as to whether or not he's interested in the white at some point. Again, not legeven, but for some other purpose to eat it. But even if he's not, Rashi says, Hilkach idi v'idi ochel. So Rabosa, I'll tell you the truth. It could be that that's pshat in Rashi. We'll only know when we ask Rashi. But it's not going to solve my problem in the Shulchan Aruch. I'll tell you why. Because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that there is borer in Shnei Mini Ochlin, and yet the Shulchan Aruch allows you to separate the white and the yellow of the egg. Okay, now how do I know that the Shulchan Aruch paskins Shnei Mini Ochlin like Tosfos? Let's take a look in Shin Yutes, and this should be in, I think, in the beginning of Shin Yutes. Let's see, we read it last week, but again, I don't have all my Maamar Kovos here in front of me today. Maybe somebody can look it up. He says the following: Yeah, Haborer Ochel Mitoch Psoles, O Shahoyu Lefan of Shnei Mini Ochlin, U Borer Min Mimin Acher. So Rashi says, Idi the Ochel Hu, and if there's no Borer, the Shulchan Aruch on the one hand here in Sif Aleph says Borer applies even to Shnei Mini Ochlin. Then I fast forward to Sif Tesvav that we just read now, and lo and behold, he allows you to be Mesanein the Chelmon, which goes down, and the Chelmon remains on top. And he doesn't give any explanation whatsoever. So therefore, to say Shnei Mini Ochlin here, that might be a valid pshat in Rashi, but I don't think it's going to solve my headache in reconciling the Shulchan Aruch itself, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins both of those together. Okay. But now, Rabosai, is it possible that we can give a different explanation? What I want to suggest. Oh. Maybe what the Shulchan Aruch is saying here, again, everything I say is Be'eravon Mugbal, because I don't have really a good solid textual support for what I want to say. But perhaps we could say the following: that when a person decides that he needs a foodstuff for coloring, then he's treating that foodstuff as if it was an object that's not edible. Again, Rabbi Moshe, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that he's throwing it out. I'm not saying that he's not going to eat it. He will eat it. But he's not taking it out because of its caloric value, if you follow me. Not because of its nourishment, not because of its status as an ochel, but legeven. You know, I'm trying to put my emphasis here on the word legeven. What halacha, what principle in Hilchas Borer does the word legeven project or portray? Correct, for a color. He needs the color. The yellow color helps him. Today in baking, I mean, this is what it's all about. You pay people tons of money because of the beautiful aesthetic color of the baking process. Chocolates, for example. I have a great niece. I mean, she's in this wine of business. Yeah. But you can't believe what her chocolates look like. You know, it's
where is this? Where?
Yeah, here in Yerushalayim. I mean, I don't remember the name of our company, so you'll call me later. I'll try to get you all the information so I can get a commission.
I mean, I don't want the ochel content. I want some other part of it. I want the...
So here's the question. I'm trying to avoid Malchshen Tzikl Gufa. Maybe we'll come to that too, Yechiel. But what I wanted to suggest is the following. Is there Meleches Borer in something other than an ochel? And I apologize. I didn't bring in Rav Gedalia Feldman. I must have left it on my shtender. Oh, maybe I did bring it.
Well, that's what
here it is. Yeah. Okay. So that's why I couldn't find it. Right? This is probably the old one. Right. And once again, he has a discussion here. Borer ishayach bekelim. Now again, Rabbi Osei, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not crazy, and I'm not telling you that the chelbon in this case is a keli. I'm not going that far. It's not a keli. But what's the reason why there's no borer in kelim according to this Mandi Omar? And he says the following. He says that what we find in Meleches Borer is a distinction between ochel and psolis. Right, the entire structure of Siman Shin Yud Tes and all that we learned here in Ayin Dalet is all about Ochel versus Psolis. He says that applies to Ochlin. And the question is, maybe if you take the Ochel from the Psolis, it's called Derech Achila. Everything is about Achila. And he wants to suggest that if he wants to be Mavchin Ben Beged Le Beged, so the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that you're not allowed to do that La'or HaNer because of Shemayata. Like he's got a mixture of his wife's clothing and his clothing, and it's dark, and he doesn't know which is his and which is hers. So he wants to take it to the Or HaNer, hopefully without waking up his wife when he has to go to Masikin, right? And the Gemara says he's not allowed to do that. Why? Shemayata, right? Nothing is mentioned here about Meleches Borer. That's the Diyuk of the Aruch HaShulchan, which you can take a look here if you don't mind opening it up. This is in the same Siman in Os Ches and Os Tes. Again, I'm trying to fit everything I wanted to say into one Shia, so I'm going to leave you to look it up. I'm going to rely right now on Rabbi Feld. And then he quotes the Taz. And the Taz is of the opinion that the Shnei Mini Kalim Shayach Borer, that there is Borer in two types of Kalim. So we have Machlokas here in the Yisodi Yeshurin. If you want to pass this around, you can photocopy it, between the Taz and the Aruch HaShulchan. Is there Borer in Kalim? If I remember correctly, it's been a while. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasan goes wild over this Taz, and he hits you with every chumra in the book about how you separate Kalim, you know, your Bgadim and Kalim, and make sure the silverware this way and that way, and throw out all your silver on the table if you want. Yeah, I mean, it's Meshugavarn. I tell you, if there's anything about ACDC, it's Meleches Borer. Meleches Borer could take you from the beginning of Shabbos to the end of Shabbos, and you'll never get out of it. Because you'll find every machmir and every chumr in the book. And I'm looking dafka for kulis. And I think that the Aruch HaShulchan might have a basis, although he doesn't quote this sugya, from the case of of Chelmon and Chelmon, where the Gemara says Mishum Geven, that's not called Bore. And if that be the case, is it possible, again, this is a real chutzpah on my part, to push this into Rashi? And what Rashi means is that you can only apply Borer to Minei Ochlin. Okay, it's a little bit difficult. Let's see. The Rashi says, Hilkoch Idi V'Idi Ochelhu. Maybe what Rashi means is that... No. I can't fit it into Rashi. I tried, but I couldn't. I would have been very happy to. But like, at least I can fit it into the Mechaber, because the Mechaber doesn't tell you why you're put in this case. The Gemara just says... is Geven, Lemare. So something that's Lemare, that's not called for the purpose of an Ochel. I'm not really taking this Ochel and separating it because I want it as an Ochel, but because I need it to be Miyape, the Mare of the Ochel. Now, again, I'm not such a big fan of Chumris to say that there is Borer in Ochlin. I'm sorry, in Kalim. But I have to admit, because truth has to prevail, that Rashi does apply Borer to Kalim. And where do I see this? This is Rashi on Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis. Okay then? So I'll ask you if you don't mind holding on to this and this for a minute so I can juggle all the things here on my desk.
Ayin Hey, that's what he said.
Ayin Hey Umad Beis. Yeah. What's going on Ayin Hey Umad Beis? So the Gemara here is looking for multiple chatos. I'm sorry. Did I say Ayin Hey Umad Beis?
You said Ayin Hey.
Yeah. Okay. That's because I didn't have my Marikovos page in front of me. It's Ayin Dalet Umad Beis.
Okay. Not far away.
It's very close to where we are now. And the Gemara, about one third of the way down, in the name of Rava, says, Haiman di Ovid Chavita. He constructs a barrel, shall we say, made of earthenware. Chayav Mishum Sheva Chatos. He violates seven Chatos. Now, if you look at Rashi, Sheva Chatos, he goes through each one of the seven, and he says, which is number two, I think, on the list. Yeah, number two on the list. After he finishes with Tochen, he says, "Uborer hatsroros hagasos mitochan." He removes the pebbles from this regev. Regev is some sort of a, how would you say, a regev?
A clump of dirt.
Yeah, that he uses to form the chavis. And he has to remove the tsroros. There are hard pieces of tsroros. Now, we're not talking about Ochlin here. You know, this regev is not edible. So that it would seem to me that Rashi, for sure, is not learning that Geven means that it's a non-kaviochel and non-edible, because Rashi doesn't limit Borer to edibles. Now again, Rashi could have a different explanation as to why Mishum Geven and Yopatu, because they're both Ochlin, the Chelmon and the Chelmon, and therefore it's not Shnei Minim. Again, that's like an help for the Shulchan Aruch, but maybe the Shulchan Aruch might accept the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. Again, that's in his, you know, inverse historical order, but what I mean is that they both hold the same Shita, that there's no Borer in that which is Ochlin. But let's assume for the time being that there is Borer in Kalim, and therefore even if he's using this Chelmon as a coloring device, there still would be Meleches Borer. Oh. But Rabosai, here I want to go back to the drawing board. We started this sugya here on Kufla Mitesom and Beis with the case of Yayin. Correct? And he pours the wine into a mishameres in order to remove what?
The
sediments. That's what we said.
The dregs.
So the question is, how is he allowed to do that? And we saw that the Gemara says that it's the Bein Agitos. Oh. So there was a machlokis here between Rashi and the Rambam. I had to learn simple pshat in the Gemara. Rashi learns that Bein Agitos means at a time period in the entire market system, and they're not makpid to drink it with the sediments. But the Rambam learns a different pshat, right? What was the Rambam's pshat? Who remembers?
In the process of the wine, no?
No, the Rambam had Shehem Guf Echa. Do you remember that Rambam?
Right.
I think there's a Rambam somewhere on the table here.
Here it is.
Yeah, if you open up, I think it. Herik Ches. I think, see if you can find it, right, the case of Yain. Oh. So I'm wondering if Rashi holds the following, that maybe Borer, in the case of a Beitza, doesn't apply. Yechiel, you said this far, so I'm just quoting you, actually. That maybe in the case of a Beitza, it's considered Guf Echad. Right? Because the egg has two parts to it. It's both the Chelbon and the Chelmon, right? They're not two separate entities. When do we say this Moleches Borer, that's only in two Minim, or two Gufim that are Mu'uravim Zebazeh? But in the case of one Guf, that's not Shnei Minim Mu'uravim Zebazeh, correct? Yeah, it's right here, Halacha Yudalid. The Rambam says, Kol Ayayin Keguf Echad Hu. That's the Lashon of Rambam here, Perik Ches Halacha Yudalid, that we spoke about at great length. And I'm wondering if we could say that maybe Rashi holds that there's no Borer Beguf Echad. But that's impossible, because Rashi himself in Bein Agitos tells you that there is Borer in removing the sediments from the wine. The only problem is that the question is whether people are makpid and they wouldn't drink it, or they would drink it anyway. And that's Rashi's pshat in Bein Agitos. So again, you know, it could very well be that Rashi would not accept this approach in the case of an egg, but who knows? Maybe the Shulchan Aruch, we have to research that and see if that could work for the Shulchan Aruch.
What can you argue that when you say there is borer by non-food items, it's only when you have two non-food items? But Rashi is telling us that the food, that I'm taking the coloring, or I'm taking the yellow part for its color, what am I leaving behind? A food substance. So I'm separating a non-food substance from a food substance. That's never going to be borer. Because I can only be borer if I have two non-food substances or two food substances. But I can't have borer when I'm mixing the two. It's not like taking a piece of food and a pair of socks and call it borer.
I mean, it's so different.
They're so different from the other. So Rashi's being mad this year that what I'm leaving behind is food. What I'm taking is non-food. There'll never be borer in that kind of thing.
It's a possibility. The only thing is, again, I just come back to the Lashon of Rashi, when Rashi says, Idi v'idi ochel hu v'ein kan, ain't kind of rare. But your pshat might be correct unto itself, but I have a trouble putting it into Rashi. So again, Rabosai, if you know, we're sort of in a bind here, we still don't understand, according to Rashi, why this is not Meleches Borer. Let's just review a few possibilities. We tried to say, number one, that maybe Rashi holds L'shitaso, that there's no Borer in Shnei Mini Ochlim, as opposed to the sheet of Tosfos. That didn't work out in the Shulchan Aruch. We suggested that maybe Borer only applies La'achila, but in Geven, that's not called Beres Ochlin, that's like Beres Kalim of Gadim. That doesn't seem to fit in with Rashi on Daf Ayin Dalet, it pays in the case of Chavis, right, of Asiyas Chavis. Then we tried to suggest that maybe Rashi holds that there's no Borer but Guf Echad, then a Beitz is considered Guf Echad, but that's against Rashi in the case of Yayin. Now, what I'd like to suggest is the following possibility. It seems to me that Meleches Borer is a very sensitive kind of Melacha. Let me try to explain what I mean by sensitive. There may be factors that play into Meleches Borer to make Borer into a Melacha Chashuva, and you and I would say, well, those are very subtle factors. And we discussed some of these elements in the equation, like, for example, we discussed whether he wants to eat it immediately or if he's putting it away for later use. We discussed whether he's taking the ochel from Soles, the Soles from the ochel. We discussed perhaps the issue of whether or not this borer in Shnei Mini Ochlim. All these distinctions, I think, are very subtle distinctions. But the ultimate goal is to try to see if I can hook into one variable of amongst many, Again, there are many possible candidates, but at least to find in each particular case that one variable that might present a problem of borer. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, maybe it's the fact that he's not eating it now that makes it into borer. Maybe the fact that he's taking the psolus from the ochel. You know what I'm saying? In each case, maybe there's something that bothers me, that makes it challenging to create this borer. There's a taroves, and therefore there's a malacha chashuva because of that particular factor. So what I would like to suggest is the following. Maybe it's begetter dok v'tishkach, I don't know. But maybe you could say that Rashi holds there is no borer beguf echad. Because again, what are you talking about borer and guf echad? You're just splitting the guf into two. That's not called borer. You know, it's not a tarovis. This is the natural state. But Rashi holds that in the case of yayin, there's a factor that plays in here to make it into borer. And that's the tsuras ha'asiyah. In other words, the way he separates the sediments from the wine. He uses what's called a mishameris. Again, I don't know the exact English translation of mishameris, but it's some sort of a sifter that's used for wine. It's like it's almost a kli hamiyuchad leborer. We're going to soon see later on when we get to the sugya borer versus merakid that the element of the kli plays a very important role in determining the malacha. So I'm just suggesting that maybe Rashi wants to say the following, that fundamentally splitting a goof into two, even if I grant you that the sediments and the yayin are all together as one, that's not borer. But Rashi holds that the way I did it in the case of yayin, you know, it's almost like an official, professional way of winemakers and wine sellers, that what they do is they use this mishameres, they pour the wine in, and what's left on top? The psolus, the shmarim. In fact, the name of the kli might have something to do with the word shmarim. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think so. No? Zev, you're an expert in Hebrew. Can you either confirm or deny what I'm saying? That the word mishameres is comes from the word shmarim. I don't know. Maybe mass, maybe no. But I think you'll grant me that this is a kind of a utensil that's used specifically in order to sift this off. And in the case of somebody who's separating the white and the yellow from the egg, I don't know that there was a kli amyuchad l'kach. Again, he may have used the kli, I'm not denying it. But that's not a professional... Again, you have to ask the chefs if what I'm saying is correct. But, you know, the chefs with the big white hats on, I don't know if they know, you know, if they go through this whole sinun process. In fact, I saw one of the Rishonim says that maybe the reason there's no borer is because some part of the white still remains floating on top and he's never able to fully separate the yellow from the white. Again, all I'm trying to suggest is that it's not, shall I say, gleich. Gleich means it's not smooth. This is not a perfect way of doing it. So you have two strikes against you here. On the one hand, it's guf echad. And on the other hand, the way you're doing it is not such a professional malacha chashuva, you know, that you put a tremendous amount of effort here, you bought a special kli, and this kli is a perfect match for what you're doing, you know. You read the instructions on the kli, and it says, please don't use this kli unless you're separating the yellow from the white of the egg. You might find a kli that's sold on the market called a mishameres that's used specifically to separate by the wine sellers to separate, or the wine manufacturers, producers, to separate the yayin from the shmarim. So again, if you accept my thesis, what I'm suggesting is that guf echad is a fallback position. What I mean is that's not the real borer. Borer means when you have two entities, A plus B, that are separated in nature, and all of a sudden they found themselves together in a big mixture. Get rid of them. You know, take out those tsoros. Take out the psolas. But if you have one goof, and that's the way you find it, all together, we spoke about kiluf bitsolim, and we want to suggest that kiluf bitsolim is mutter according to the Yishalmi because it's goof echad. It's not borer, you're not separating two things. The klipa surrounds the vegetable or the fruit, and that's the way it is in nature. Therefore, Rashi really maintains that as a general rule, Guf Echad does not qualify as Borer. The exception to the rule is going to be this case where he separates the wine, the sediments from the wine in a very professional way. And that's part of the wine manufacturing, the wine marketing, you know, profession, and you have a special kli for that. Once you do it with a mishameres, then even though it's guf echad technically, he's still separating the sediments from the wine, and that's called a malacha chashuva. That's a professional pasuk. Another way, again, just another variant, alternative presentation, the last svara, would be to say the following. That, you know what, there is borer beguf echad, according to Rashi. Haraya Rashi doesn't accept the Rambam sheet in Ben Agitos. But that's because you're removing sediments. You're removing psolis. Or let's say kiluf bitsolim. You're removing psolis. Rashi might ascribe to the possibility of the broader scope definition of borer in the case of guf echad, but only if I have something that is objectively psolis. So I have like I have the following strike against me. In other words, on the one hand, I'm just splitting a guf into two parts. Right, because the sediments and the wine at this point are all one entity, that's what the Rambam insists. And in the case of Betzolim, the Klipa and the Batzal is one entity. But I have a strike against me. And the strike against me is Psolis. I have real McCoy Psolis. That gives the Malacha a certain Chashivus, despite the fact that it's Gufecha. But Rashi says that in the case of Chelmon and Chelmon, Shnei Mini Ochlin Heim, again, notwithstanding our debate, you know, is he going to eat the white or is he not eating the white of the egg? I don't know. But certainly you can't call it psolis. The white of the egg is not psolis. He needs it for Gevin purposes, so he wants the yellow of the egg. But both parts of the egg are
edible.
So what do you have? You have on the one end Guf Echad. And Guf Echad is a knapper kind of borer to begin with. It's not the real McCoy borer, because what you're doing is you're splitting an object into two. You're not really separating two different objects. But add to boot that although I could grant you that Guf Echad might be subject to borer, but Medvar Amur, that's only if there's real psolis. The Chashivas of Melechus Borer in the case of Guf Echad evolves from the fact that I have psolis. But here in this case of a beitza, I don't have real psolis. It's Shnei Mini Ochel, says Rashi, and therefore it is not borer. So again, I just want to leave you with the following two possibilities in Rashi. One possibility would be to say that Rashi holds Shnei Mini Ochel is Bechlal Mufka from borer, and then we'll link it up with the Rashi back on Daf Ayin Dalet about the Girsa that Rashi rejects of Shnei Mini Ochel. Another alternative pshat in Rashi would be that there's Shnei Mini Ochlim and a Guf Echad. And Rashi holds that if you have Shnei Mini Ochlim plus Guf Echad, then you have two negatives against Borer, so to speak. Yeah, Dr. Joel?
How can you break the egg with?
You're asking a Metzius question or a Lomish question?
Yes, you're taking the shell away.
Just throw it.
It's nothing you're going to eat right now. You're not eating raw eggs. It's Shabbos.
Oh, you're saying if this kilu, if this Borer, kilu Pitzolim, then when I remove the contents, no, because in the case of kiluf, I don't break. If I would take what's it called, the peel of an onion? No, there's a skin of the onion. What's it called? The skin of the onion. If I would take the skin of the onion, let's say it was a hard onion, a hard skin, I don't know if there is such a thing, and I would break it open, that's not borer. Borer is kiluf. When I remove the psolis. Here also, in the case of the egg, I break the egg, that's not called borer. But when I go ahead now, after I've broken the egg, and I pour it into a sieve, and I remove the white part of the egg from the yellow part of the egg, that's called meleches borer. Says Rashi, it's not borer. Why? Because Shnei Mini Ochel. Does Rashi mean that it's guf echad? Does Rashi mean that there's no borer in Shnei Mini Ochel? That I can't tell you. In the Shulchan Aruch, you might say that the Shulchan Aruch holds that there's borer in Shnei Minei Ochlin. That's how he seems to indicate in Halacha Aleph, in Sif Aleph. You might also argue that according to the Shulchan Aruch, there's borer even in non-Ochlin. And therefore, Gavon would not qualify as, of course, borer, because it's not L'shem Ochel. You might also add that according to the Shulchan Aruch, not only is there borer b'shnei minei ochlin, but there's borer in guf echad. You might argue that. Although, again, I haven't seen it in the Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole to-do about in the Bir Halacha of the Mishnah Berurah with regard to this Yerushalmi about Kiluf Bitzolim. And the Mishnah Berurah goes very far. He says not only Kiluf Bitzolim, but he says Kiluf Egozim. And what else did he say?
Tapuchim.
Yeah, that was a strange Mishnah Berurah about taking the klipa off of an apple. Again, you have to introduce so many chumras here, like the chumra tosis, that since he doesn't want the peel of the apple, and even though it's gufecha and so on, it becomes Melechus Borer. But at the end of the day, you know, why the Shulchan Aruch allows separating the white and the yellow from the egg in the case of Gavon, you could be that since he's interested in Gavon, then again it's hard to say Shnei Minei Ochlin, because Tosus the Sheet and the Mechaber passes like that, is if he only wants one min, that makes the other min into a psolus. But maybe because he's not doing it with a professional kind of kli, and therefore it's not considered such a malacha chashuva, and therefore it's not borer.
But then it's kasha why the Shulchan left the Gavon part out. He didn't mention
correct
that at all.
That's a pella. Now, Rabbos, we take a look at the next line in the Gemara. And life gets even more exciting. Okay?
Hardal? Is it Hardal?
No, I'll tell you exactly where it is. I said the next line in the Gemara, but actually it's a little, you know, in order to appreciate this Gemara, you have to go a little bit back. Okay, the mission is on Kuf Lamed Zion, and the Gemara is on Kuf Lamed Ches. Okay? Now this, in my mind, makes everything that we've done until now easy. This is the real tough one. And that is how to define the distinction between Meleches Borer and Meleches Merakid. And you'll soon see that misery, you know, that what do they say? Misery is a consolation. What's the word? There's a phrase that if somebody else is suffering from
misery,
the same,
loves company.
Is that it?
Right.
Okay. But there's a word about in Hebrew. It's called chatzi nechama. I forgot what it's called. Something is chatzi nechama. But what I'm going to try to show you is that my question is not my own original question, but it's the Gemara's question. The Gemara itself doesn't understand the difference between borer and merakit. So I'm in good company. Okay. Misery loves company. Okay. Cool. What is going on here on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Omed Aleph? Okay, so in order to appreciate this sugya of Rabba and Rab Zera, which is smack in the middle of Kuf Lamed Ches Omed Aleph, we have to see the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah tells us
Kuf Lamed
Ches Omed Aleph. Again, it's hard for me to tell you where.
Yeah, just have to say,
but it's like smack in the middle of the page, if you can find it. No, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that the sugya we want to study is on Kuf Lamed Ches Omed Aleph, smack in the middle of the page.
Okay.
So let's see if you can find that.
Where does it start?
It starts Mishumai Masrim Bo Bay, and the first word in the line is L'chathilu. It's about, again, I can't calculate it for you. It's about 20 lines up from the bottom and about 20 lines down from the top. Does that help you at all? No. And certainly not in the Steinsaltz Gemara. But anyway, in my Gemara, the first word in the line is L'chathilu. Now, in order to appreciate this Gemara, you have to know that the Mishnah codifies the case of the Chachamim of what's called Asur L'Shamer B'Mishmeres Shimrei Yayin B'Shabbos. Okay, then? So what we mean is, we're talking about sifting out the sediments from the wine on Shabbos, and we're not talking about Ben Agitos, and therefore you're chayav for a malacha, but the Mishnah doesn't tell you, doesn't identify which malacha. Now you might ask me what difference it makes. Call it borer, call it marakade. In the long run, you're dead anyway, so who cares? But we need to know
hasra.
Exactly. Right. The law of hasra is the following: if you give the wrong hasra, then he's pot. You're off the hook. Now, what exactly is a case of the wrong hasra that we have to discuss? And the source for that question is right here on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, regarding the relationship between Borer and Meraked. And you know, it always dawns on me, you have to be, this is so perplexing to me, you have to be such a Lamdan to understand the difference between Borer and Meraked. You know, that who cares about this fellow who's violating the Shabbos and he's going to be chayv skil because he did it with Edom and Hasra, whether he gave him a Hasra, Mishum Meraked or Mishum Borer. I can promise you, he has no clue what the difference is between Borer and Meraki, because I don't have a clue. And you don't have a clue. Nobody has a clue. The Gemara doesn't have a clue. So we're all in good company. Anyway, so Rabbi Omar Mishum Borer, Rabbi Zera Omar Mishum Meraki. So Rashi adds a very important word here, and it only has three letters to it. And Rashi says, Mishum Borer, Dahai Nami Borerhu. What word did Rashi add?
Nami.
And Rashi is telling you that Lomi boy, there's no issue, right? Eilanu Vikuach, for certainly you're going to be Chayav Mishum Meraked. Rava wants to add another possibility, and that is Mishum Borer. He's also Chayav for Borer. Again, you have another discussion here, which we're not going to get into, whether or not according to Rashi, in the case of Meshamer, whether you should be chayv two chatos for violating two different malachs. But now we're talking about hasra, and we're talking about mazes. So he's only chayv one. But the question is: is there an alternative? Are there many candidates? Is there more than one candidate for hasra? And Rashi learns Rabbah saying, yes, you can give hasra not only mishum barake but also mishum borer. That's how Rashi learns the sugya. Okay. Then we have the sheet of Rab Zera Omar Mishum Meraked. What that means is that he's not Chayav Mishum Borer, but only Mishum Meraked. Now, the Rambam adds a point here which is premature for us. So this is classified information. We'll come right back to it. But right now we don't know it. The Rambam says, why is he Chayav Mishum Meraked? The Rambam says because he used something called a nafa, nun pei he. So we'll get back to this in a minute. In any event, it comes out that according to Rashi, there's not a very extreme machlokas here between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi. In fact, there's a very common ground between Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira. They both agree that in the case of Meshamer, Yochai Mishum Meleches Meraked. Rashi says that Rabbi added a Meleches Bore, that you can give Masra Mishum Bore. Omar Rabbi, Kavasi Didi Mistabra, he gives himself a little support of Svara, that he should be Chayav Mishum Borer. Ma Darko Shal Borer, Notel, Ochel, Umeniach Psoles, Af Hochanami, Notel, Esa Ochel, Umeniach Es Hapsoles. Here too, in this case of Meshamer, the Yayin goes through the Meshameres, and he's left with the Shmarim on top, which he gets rid of. And that's called Meleches Borer. Om Rabbi Zera, Kavase Didi Mistabra. My logic is more compelling, and we should give Masra Mishum Meraked. Madarko Shel Meraked Hapsoles Milamala. The Psoles ends up caught on top of this utensil. Ha'ochel, that which you want to eat, is Milamata, goes down in between the holes. Is Af Hachinami. So to our case of Mishameres is absolutely similar to the case of Meraked. Why is that so? Because the Psoles is Lemala, the Psoles ends up caught up on top, and the Ochel is Lemata. The Ochel goes down through the thing. This is all according to Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan, as we'll soon see, has a different shot in this Gemara. And he wants to make this a machlokes min akotzel akotzel. It means the following. According to Rabbi Yochananel, Rabbah holds Yechayev only mishum borer. Rav Zera holds you're only chayav mishum merakid. And the truth of the matter is that if I take Rashi's pshat, I'm a little bit confused, because according to Rashi, I'm not sure why this should be so. In other words, why Rashi holds that everybody agrees that it's merakid, and Rabba wants to say that he's also chayav mishum borer. You know, that's a little bit of a pella, because then the machlokas is whether or not you could add borer here. And the truth is, I don't understand exactly why Rabba thinks that you could add borer here, but he gives the svara of ochel mitoch psoles. Then we have Rabbeinu Chananel, and in Rabbeinu Chananel, I don't understand the sugya either, because it's an extreme machlokas, and Rabba insists that this is called Meleches Borer to the exclusion of Merakid, and Rav Zera holds this is called Meleches Merakid to the exclusion of Borer. Now the truth is, we don't know the difference between Borer and Merakid. The Gemara itself doesn't know the difference between Borer and Merakid. Let's take a look at the Gemara back in Klal Gadol, and that's on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, and the Gemara says the following. This is the last two lines on the Gemara. Hainu
Gimel.
Hainu Gimel on the base. Hainu Zorer. Hainu Borer. Hainu Araki. Okay, so I'm not exactly sure what Zorer is doing here, because I can convince you that Zorer is a totally different Moloch, but that's not for us now. But let's just focus on Borer and Meraki, because that's how a sugi here on Kufla Meches is Abayi V'Rava, the Amrit Shavayu. The only answer to this question as to what's the difference between Borer and Meraki is Kol Milsa Da'avi V'Mishkan. Here we turn to Daf Ayidal Rav Nalev Afal Gav De'ikad D'Domile Choshevla. In other words, it's counted as two separate Avos, because even though I should say that they're very, very similar, but nevertheless, they counted by the Tanna as two separate Avos, because they were all in the Mishkan. So it comes out like this, that Mishkan will determine whether or not you have one Av in the counting of 39 Afkamino Gabi Yasra, or two different Avos in the counting of the 39. Does this really help me? I mean, I'm still sort of dodging the main question here. Okay, fine. You're going to tell me that both Borer and Merakid were done in the Mishkan, and therefore that gives it each one a certain chashiva, so it's counted as a separate Av, and like we end up with 39. But you still have to answer. You know, you're going to tell me that both Borer and Merakid were in the Mishkan, but tell me what is the difference between Borer and Meraki. So the only clue that I get from the sugi itself is Rabba's svar. Rabba says, Madarko shel Borer is notel ochel uveniach psolis. And therefore, Mishameres is called Borer. That's what he says. Avhochenami, notel es haochel umeniach es hapsoles. So this is what makes borer different. And according to Rabbi Chananel, that makes it, according to Rabbi, exclusively borer. But certainly, it makes it different, even according to Rashi, than meleches merakit. In other words, Rabbi is saying, according to Rashi, that you cannot, Rav Zera, you have no right to deny the similarity between Mishameres and Borer, and exclude that as a possible candidate Asra, because certainly Mishameres has an element that's essential to Borer, and it sets up Borer as a Malacha unto itself, such that you can now justify the Asra in the name of Borer. It's because notel es ha'ochel umeniach es hapsolus. Do you have any tissues left? I always forget to bring in here.
There's my
That's
one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's good. Really thanks.
You have no.
I want to suggest the following. Every malach has a cheft. And we have to define in every one of the 39 malachas, what is the cheft? I call it the victim, meaning the object of my maisa malach. What is the object in the case of borer? What is the object in the case of meraki? Now let me reformulate this question as it applies to Borer and Meraket. Do we have one Heftzah or two Heftzahs?
It depends what you're doing. Why are you separating these things? Do you want to keep something or you want to throw it away?
Okay, so Avi, you're a step ahead of me. I'm just asking a different question. Avi, can you answer this question? When you separate two things, I'm going to give you two options. One option is your Maisa is done on both. You're separating A from B, so both B and A, right, A and B are Cheftzes, if you follow what I mean. They both are the object of your separation because you're separating the two. Or, let me give you an alternative. When you can separate two items by taking one and leaving the other. If you take one, right, then your mice is being done on what? On both heftes or on one? On one heft, correct?
That's the question.
So I don't know if you can, you know, on the one hand, I would like you to give me the following answer, that conceptually, meaning in the abstract, you know, world of concepts, both definitions are correct, because when you separate two things, on the one hand you're taking one from the other, on the other hand you're taking both from each other. Are you with me? I don't know, I'm saying things that are very, very abstract here, but I don't have any...
Are you taking both from each other?
Right, are we separating both from each other, one from the other, right? Or are we taking one and leaving the other? And the difference is the following. If I'm taking one and leaving the other, that makes one chefta, meaning my maisa is on that thing that I'm taking. What's left is left. If on the other end I'm separating one from the other, then my action is equally targeted at both heftas. Yeah, again, I didn't get to the point that Harvey's up to yet. Yeah, you know, what am I interested in, and where am I doing it, and how am I doing it? I'm just, you know, I'm going very slowly because the Gemara itself goes slowly. So I'm in good company here, as I said before. Do you hear the abstract hakira here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so maybe what Rava is saying here is that in the case of Mishamer, this is not your classical Meraked. Why? Because in your classical Meraked, you separate two things. In this kind of case of Mishameres, you're taking one thing from the other. That's the Lashon of Rabba that makes it into Borer. He says, Ma daiko shel Borer is notel ochel. Right? And then he says, Meniach psolus. What does he mean by saying notel versus Meniach? Is anybody following me at all? Or am I just like, you know, talking to the wall?
Yeah,
like
I'm
a madman?
Yeah,
you know, you might say I'm mad. You know, if you needed a riot, this would be a good riot. You know, if you ever needed a proof, then what I'm telling you now, this, if anything I said to you in the last, I don't know how many months we've been together, makes me into a madman, this would be a good qualification. But what I'm suggesting is that Rabba's differentiation between what I call no-till and meniach is a differentiation between two heftas and one hefta. And what Rabba wants to establish as a definition of, as a working definition of Meleches Borer, is that Borer has only one hefta. That's called no-till. The Maisa Netila is being done on one object, call it ochel, okay, in this case, called psolus in other cases, whatever it might be. The meniach is a poel yotze, you know, that's a natural consequence. Excellent. That's a consequence, but it's not in the direct, you know, how should I say, range of my, you know, of my action. You know, so I remember when I was doing basic training, so my mfaked was very angry at me because I never was able to hit the bullseye. You know, it was like I was like the worst shooter in the whole pluga, you know what I'm saying? But I kept claiming to him, but wait a minute. Every time I hit the target, again, not the round part of the target, but the bullet bounced off and hit up against something else. So I should get credit for hitting that. So that's called no telemania. That's the thing. So that I can't remember his name. He was an Indian Jew. I remember. I loved him so much. I should really look him up again. He's probably an old man by now, because you know, since I did basic training, many decades have passed by. But you know, I always say if Medinat Yisrael needs Berzon to carry a gun, we're in bad shape. Very bad. My son Bach is a great shooter, though. I mean, his mufakeh claims he's even better than he is. That my son is even a better shooter than he is. And my son is still volunteering for Miluim. He's totally part of from everything, but he's a mishugah. Anyway, so what I want to say is the following: that what's Rabbah's chiddush here? Why does Rabbah insist, according to the Rabbeinu Chanan, that Yechayev here in Meshames Mishum Borer, or according to Rashi, Af Mishum Borer, that's the Nami in Rashi, is because there's a certain element in Meshameres that makes it Borer Dik. Right? That he should put on a sweatshirt that has a big beige on it, a Borer sweatshirt. And what's that? Meniach Es Ha Psolis. That's not Merakid. Merakid means that I take two objects and I separate the two. And the reason why Rav Zera insists that this Meshameres case fits into your classical definition of Merakid, he says that one is Lamala and one is Lamata. What does he mean by saying that one is Lamata and one is Lamala, as opposed to Notel Umeniach? That both of them, that he's separating both of them. That there are two things, and I want, you know, it's like you take the left, it's like, you know, the men go to the right and the women go to the left, or whatever it is, the other way around, you know, you have an Ezra's Noshim. Here too, I'm separating these two things. You go to the top and you go to the bottom. One ends up on Lamala and one ends up on Lamata. That's called Meleches Merakid. And that was done in the Mishkan, as we'll soon see. And Meleches Borer was to take the Ochel from the Psolus, or vice versa, in which your Melech is being done only on one Cheftza, and that makes it into Meleches Borer. So the Machlokas now between Rabbi Zera and Rabbi is that Rabbi Zera says, wait a minute, you're using a Meshameres, and what you're ending up with is the sediments on top and the wine on the bottom. That's classical Merakid. That's exactly what Merakid is all about. And Merakid, by the way, uses what? Always employs, as we saw before, the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos, a kli, a nafo, whatever it is, a chavra, a navra. There's a special kli, and the purpose of that kli is to separate two things, one from the other. Again, it's very similar to Borer, but the difference is that in Borer, which could even be Biyad, what I'm doing is I'm taking one thing from the other. Here, in Merakid, I use a kli to separate the two. So Rav Zera yells and screams, wait a minute, why are you telling me that Meshamer is Chayav Mishum Borer? That doesn't make any sense. This is a classical case of Merakid. Ah, says Rabbah, this is different. Why? Because what you're doing here is you're taking the sediments. Oh no, I would say it the other way around. That according to Rabbah, you're taking the wine and leaving the sediments behind. Again, we have to understand according to Rabbah how is it that every case of why is Meshameres different, Meshamer different than every case of Merakid? Are you with me? In other words, according to Rabbah, why don't I say in every case of Merakid that basically what I'm doing is I'm taking the one on the bottom, right, and leaving Meniach the one on the top? Why does he see something unique in the case of Mishamer that here there's also going to be Borer? So again, we're going to see that some of the Rishonim hold that, according to Rabbah, every case of Merakit is Chayav Mishum Borer, in addition to being Chayav Mishum Merakit. So it means that basically you have two circles here. The circle of Borer is larger, has a broader scope than the circle of Merakit, and there's a certain overlap, right? Right? The overlap, the sun is larger than the moon, and there's a certain overlap in which you have both Mishum Merakit and Borer. But the other way around is not true, because according to Rabbah, every case of Merakit, right? No, I'm sorry. Let me start again. How did I get messed up? Okay. According to Rabbah, what I'm suggesting is that it's quite possible that there are two circles. There's a smaller circle and a larger circle. Merakid is always going to be Chayav Mishum Borer, but there are many cases in which Borer is not Chayav Mishum Merakid. Why is Borer not Chayav Mishum Merakid? Because you're separating one thing from the other. If you're separating one thing from the other, that's not called Merakit. Merakit means when you separate two things, one from each other. But whenever you're separating two things, one from each other with a kli, then the part that you're taking, which goes through the holes, it's like there's a barrier, there's a machzor, and whatever goes by the barrier, that's what you want to take, and you're leaving behind the sediments. Okay, then, so we'll stop here, Rabbi Moshe. So again, we've made some progress, we're not there yet, and I want to finish this up later another time. And the progress that we made is that I think we begin to understand why, both according to Rashi and according to Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbah has a case for Borer in Meshamer if you assume that he's taking the wine and leaving the shmark.
And Meshameris is not a kli in this case? It's not considered.
Yeah, it's a kli, and therefore it's also Merakit. In other words, again, according to Rashi, it's Ma'od Mistaber.
So Rabbi Chanan will shver.
Yeah, because Rashi will gain for us the following principle, that whenever I do Merakid with a Kli, it's going, which is the definition of Merakid, at least according to Rambam, I don't know if everybody agrees to that, we'll have to see, then by definition I'm also Chai Mishum Borer, because I'm taking that which survives, you know, through the barrier, you know, that which gets manages to survive the barrier.
Well, according to Rabbi, not everybody doesn't hold from the Kli. So you would have to also say everything's Borer. He doesn't, according to Rashi.
So according to Rashi, in the case of a racket, since I am using a Kli, and what I'm doing is I'm separating two things with a Kli, that's called Merakid. Rashi says that according to Rabbah says, but at the same time that you're separating two things with a kli, you're also taking the bottom one and leaving the top one behind. And that means you're being notel es ha'ochel u'meriyach es ha'psoles. And that's your definition of Meleches Borer. Okay, Rabbi Moshe, we'll see if we can polish it up and select that which is good and leave behind that which is no good.
What if you use both of them? What if you use the shmarim that are in the napa as well as the ayin? You separated them, but you're going to use them both.
So that comes under a different machlokas, and that is. We claim that this might be a machlokas between the Rambam and other Rishonim as to whether or not you can be chayav for Borer
when there's no psalus.
Yeah, there's no psalus at all. Yeah. You know, the Rambam never bought into this whole thesis of Tosis that, well, I don't want it now, therefore
and
it's psalus. And then you're left with, this was the Prima Gadim that we once discussed, yeah, that what happens if you separate two minim and you can eat them both, you know. Or you're going to put them both away.
I mean, they're used for different things. Shmar may be used for, I don't know what else. Fuel,
right, fuel, you know, like, correct. Like classically,
yeah, right.
Classically, it's used for fuel.